in the sizzling setting. My tight shoulder and neck muscles relaxed as I stretched, soaking up the sun and the ambiance. Wrought iron gates surrounded the graceful Mediterranean arches and loggias of the piazza. The downtown skyline, towering glass and stainless steel sentinels, guarded the perimeter. My lazy thoughts drifted back to the man in the noose. The gallery notes said it was the work of an exile artist born in Havana during the Castro regime. Time to get back to work. Reluctantly, I crumpled the greasy wrapping. As I stepped toward a wire trash basket, the ground shook. Walls trembled and sound waves rattled windows. For a millisecond, I thought someone had fired the old Spanish cannon outside the historical museum. A dog howled somewhere. I stared up at innocent blue sky and, with a growing feeling of dread, knew what it was. A payphone hung on the wall a few feet away. Digging the ever-present emergency quarter from my skirt pocket, I punched in the dispatch number for Miami Fire. "Hi, this is Britt Montero from the Miami News. I'm downtown. Where did the bomb explode?"
"Bomb?" echoed the operator.
"Yes, I just heard the explosion." Shifting impatiently, I eyed the walkway to the parking garage. Was the scene close enough to reach on foot? That might be faster and make more sense than driving.
"What makes you think it's a bomb?"
The operator sounded slow and skeptical.
"This is Miami," I snapped. "I've been on the police beat long enough to know a bomb when I hear it."
"What was that location?"
"That's what I called to ask you."
Frustration backed up in my throat along with my lunch as I gripped the phone in a stranglehold, scanning the skyline. There it was, a swirling spiral of black smoke. Suddenly she was serious.
"I don't know what went down, but my 911 phones are coming to life. Hold on."
I nearly hung up before she came back.
"Don't have an exact QTH, but callers are all saying it's in the area of Northwest 2nd Avenue and Flagler. They say it's a car,"
the dispatcher added.
"Have to go now. All hell's breaking loose."
I hung up and ran. Sprinting down the open stairwell from the elevated plaza at the Center for Fine Arts, I saw open-mouthed pedestrians staring in the direction of the smoke. The location, two blocks away, didn't register until I saw the WTOP TV tower. My heart pounded. Darn, their reporters would be there first. Then it occurred to me that the television station itself, third in local news ratings, might be the target. Wisps of smoke wound up and around from behind the building. Traffic was stalled, sirens converging, people running. As I caught my breath in that familiar suspended state of fearful anticipation, a thousand possibilities fast-forwarded through my mind. We have had car bombs explode under union officials, nightclub owners, drug dealers, double-dealing informants, federal witnesses, Latin political activists, and victims of mistaken identity. Bombers have targeted police headquarters, the state attorney's office, the justice building, the Latin Chamber of Commerce, beauty salons, bingo halls, boats, trains, and planes, and the offices of the Postal Service, the FBI, and Social Security. Sometimes would-be bombers become the victims. A penis was all that remained of one bomb builder who made a mistake. Explosives have been planted in suspicious packages, booby-trapped television sets, and at Spanish-language newspapers. Cars outside various consulates have been blown sky-high. A bomb was even discovered strapped to a shooting victim during surgery. Found bleeding on an inner-city street, he had 30 packets of cocaine, $2,000, and several bullet wounds. As he was transferred from a stretcher to the operating table, an explosive device equal in strength to a stick of dynamite was spotted, concealed in the small of his back. Had a bullet struck him half an inch lower, it and he would have detonated. The hospital was evacuated as bomb squad experts gingerly removed the device, and the surgical team fought to